Hi there. Welcome, all you college football fans, to our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter. This is episode 11. I'm your host, John Shomo. And this week, we will review a very busy and very interesting week 9 of the college football season. We'll talk about some other issues in the sport, a couple of things I wanted to get to, and look ahead to week 10, where there are some games of interest both locally and nationally as well. So we'll start. First of all, I just got done watching the end of the Bears-Commanders game Sunday evening, and I can only imagine. I've been in Chicago. I've been at a restaurant named called the Commonwealth in Roscoe Village for a Bears game before, and I know how they are. And I can only imagine what went through that restaurant when Washington caught the Hail Mary and won the game about a half an hour ago. unbelievable. Anyway, well, we got that out of the way. Okay, back to college football. Week 9 saw, let's start locally here, great job by the Akron Zips, the much-maligned Zips. Had a nice win over a MAC-contending team. Eastern Michigan came in 5-2, and the Zips beat them. Good for them. It's their second win of the year. They've been hard to come by the past few years. Great win for Coach Moorhead and his guys. It's nice to see. It was fun to see. Okay. Ohio State. Here's the takeaway from the Nebraska game. First of all, Nebraska is not a bad team. They're a very good team. They got housed at Indiana a week ago, and that is going to happen sometimes. I can remember Ohio State getting housed at Purdue and Iowa a few years ago, going in there with very good teams. It does happen. Nebraska is a good team. They got a nice young quarterback. They've got a really good coach. And, you know, they weren't going to come in here and roll over. The takeaway from Ohio State is that they had a hard time run blocking. They can't get they got maybe the best running back tandem in college football, and they couldn't gain 100 yards rushing, and even a good running quarterback in addition. They have to fix the left tackle position. They've lost two now to injuries. This week is going to have to be some on-the-fly corrections and to get them back in their run fits on the offensive line. They're facing one of the better defensive lines in the country this next week at Penn State. So that's imperative. They got to get that done. More about their game maybe here in a minute. But they got the win. They got the win over Nebraska. That's what counts. And it's on to Penn State now. Now, a couple of other things in Week 9. It was Lee Corso Day, as commemorated by the mayor of Bloomington, Indiana, this past Saturday. Corso, the former Indiana head coach, took them to the bowl win in 1978, their first bowl victory. And he was there, 89 years old, on the game day set with his old Indiana coaching sweater. The Hoosiers stayed undefeated, one of the biggest stories, if not the biggest story, in college football this year. A 31-17, pretty hard-fought win over Washington at Bloomington. They still have not trailed for 1 second in the season. It's still Indiana and Army that have that distinction. They have not been behind for 1 second of the season thus far. So they keep rolling there. They're 8-0 up there in Bloomington. Texas A&M, I misspoke last week when we were going down the list of undefeateds in the major conferences. Texas A&M is the only SEC team with no league losses. I said last week that none of them were unblemished. Texas A&M is. They had a big win over LSU this past Saturday night. Coach Mike Elko doing a hell of a job down there at College Station. Came up there from Duke, and they're 5-0 in the SEC. The teams with one loss in the SEC race, and we're just talking about league records now, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, and LSU. And there are some intramural games, if you will, in the last 5 weeks between some of those teams. So there's a lot to shake out still. For instance, Texas A&M will play Texas. The old rivalry will be renewed on the final weekend of the regular season, and it stands to mean an awful lot this year. Always means an awful lot, but added meaning this year in the SEC race. The conference that I think has had the most enjoyable games to watch this year, the most games where you kind of flick it on at near the end of the game and there's a great ending, is the Big 12. The Big 12, you know, may not have many of the top 10 teams, but their games are great. There are still two undefeated teams in the Big 12, by the way, Iowa State and BYU. Nobody had that one back in late August, I don't believe. Both are still undefeated. There are many games going down to the last play in the Big 12. A couple of games this past Saturday, for instance, West Virginia staved off a big rally at Arizona and won a big game down there. TCU and Texas Tech, a one-pointer that the Horned Frogs eked out at home against a very good Texas Tech team. Kansas and Kansas State in the Sunflower rivalry on Saturday night. That was a tight one that went right down to the end, a one-point game. Kansas State, by the way, has won 16 games in a row against Kansas. The last Kansas team that won that rivalry was Mark Mangino's Kansas team in 2007 that wound up going to the Orange Bowl. That was their highlight in the last, I don't know, 40 years. But there's three games just from the Big 12 last week that were really fun to watch at the end. They went down to the final play. It seems like they have more games like that than the other leagues so far. Okay, other issues in the sport. I've jotted down a few things here I wanted to get to. Colorado, the sideshow, all that it is, whatever it is, they are now bowl eligible in year two of the Coach Prime era. They have some really good players. They seem to have gotten it together a little bit. I don't know that their schedule has been the toughest of anybody, but Colorado has 6 wins and they're now bowl eligible. So congratulations to them. Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders are tremendous players. They'll be playing on Sunday next year, I'm pretty sure. Realignment and elimination of the divisions in the major conferences, I think, have given us more big-time matchups to look forward to in the schedule in the regular season. Also, that I think that's helped by the fact that there's a 12-team playoff instead of a 4-team playoff. A couple of these schools that have 2 losses, for instance, Alabama, they're still a viable playoff contender. If Alabama wins out, do you think they're not going to take a 10-2 Alabama team as one of the at-large bids for the playoffs? I think they're guaranteed a spot. They're unlikely to get in the SEC title game, I would say. They'd have to win out and have some stuff happen. They have 2 league losses, but not out of it completely. But Alabama's games are still key in terms of the college football playoff. So I think that the realignment, for all it is, and not all of it is positive, in my opinion, but they have really kind of enhanced the regular season a little bit. Also, the elimination of divisions. There's some teams in that mix, for instance, that would have been in the East and the West last year, and it would have been a completely different look. Same in the Big Ten. And again, most of these conferences got bigger, and I think those two issues have given us more big-time matchups here in October and going into November. The games are key games, and they're not as many teams just playing spoiler anymore. There's still a lot of teams that have a lot to play for moving forward. Okay, this week, we'll look ahead now to Week 10. I don't think the Week 10 schedule on the surface is quite as appealing as the Week 9 schedule was. Week 9 was loaded, but there are some big games that we want to mention here, and I'll make my weekly predictions. First of all, locally, Kent State has a bye. That's probably a good thing for them. They haven't won in a couple years. Got hammered again this weekend by Western Michigan. Buffalo will play at Akron on noon on Saturday. That game will be televised, I believe, by CBS Sports Network. The Zips looking to back up their win this past week with a win. Buffalo not playing at their upset-laden home stadium. Might be a chance for Akron to get one. So let's hope so. Go Zips. And, of course, the big game in Happy Valley between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Penn State Nittany Lions. That will be a big noon Saturday presentation on the Fox television network with Gus and Joel and Jenny and the crew. So those are the local games of note. Other key games that I've jotted down here for Week 10. How about Pitt at SMU? Didn't have that one on your bingo card either in late August, did you? Pitt undefeated. SMU with just 1 loss, not a league loss. Lost to TCU, I believe, early in the season. SMU overcame 6 turnovers on Saturday night to beat the Duke Blue Devils, who also have a good team this year, in overtime down in Durham. Pitt at SMU this Saturday. That's a huge game in the ACC. We'll see if the Panthers can remain undefeated. Oregon will travel to Ann Arbor to play the national champions, the Michigan Wolverines, national champions with an asterisk. On the surface, it doesn't seem to be a close contest, but A, Oregon's traveling across the country into the Eastern time zone. We've talked about how that's been a thing this year. And two, you never know. You know, Michigan's got nothing to lose, really. They have three losses. They're not going to be in the Big Ten championship game. So they may just throw caution to the wind and do some surprising things, and we'll see what happens. On Wednesday night, early game this week in Conference USA, a big one between Rich Rodriguez's Jacksonville State team traveling to Liberty to play the Liberty Flames. Liberty was knocked off by winless Kennesaw State this past week. Jacksonville State at Liberty will have a lot to say about who gets in the Conference USA championship game. Western Kentucky will have a lot to say about that as well. And on Tuesday, even earlier this week, a big game in the Sun Belt between Louisiana and Texas State. Each team has stumbled a little bit this year unexpectedly, and that one's a key game in the race for the Sun Belt West title, the one conference that still has divisions. Okay. Ohio State, I wrote down, they must prepare for two quarterbacks this weekend against Penn State. Drew Aller was hurt, looked like possible knee injury. That's just speculation. They're really being tight-lipped about it over there in Happy Valley. The backup quarterback came in and looked pretty good in the second half. That's good news and bad news for the Buckeyes. The good news is that they have some film on the guy. They can watch a whole half of him playing against a good Wisconsin team. The bad news is they have to take the time to prepare for two quarterbacks defensively. So there's a mixed blessing there, I suppose. We'll see what happens. I'm sure Penn State's not going to reveal who the starting quarterback is going to be until they're out there warming up, or maybe even they take the field for their first offensive series just after noon on Saturday. All right, moving to our picks. Our Week 9 picks. Going into Week 9, we were 18 wins, 15 losses, and a tie. Still over 500. We picked four games, as usual, for Week 9. Here's how they went. We had Oregon minus 21.5. We picked them against Illinois. Oregon hammered them, got the win, and they covered. So that's a win for us. We took Florida State, 19.5-point underdogs at Miami. They lost by 22. Missed it by that much, so that's a loss. We took Alabama at home as a 13.5-point favorite over Missouri. Alabama won 34-0, so that's a win for us. And finally, we took the Naval Academy, undefeated 14-point underdog against Notre Dame at East Rutherford, New Jersey. Navy commenced to turn the ball over six times, and it was a rout. So we got beat there. The middies didn't, get their end of the deal done. So wound up 2-2 once again in our picks. That moves us to 20 wins, 17 losses, and a tie in our predictions this year. Still going along pretty well. So we've picked four games, as usual, for Week 10. Here we go. Here are the predictions for Week 10. I'm going to take Jacksonville State getting a point at Liberty on Wednesday night. I think Rich Rod's boys have found out something. They started the season terribly. They've now won three or four in a row, and they look pretty good. Liberty may be in a funk a little bit. So we'll take Jacksonville State. We will take Duke, and those of you who know me know that's a big thing for me to do. We'll take Duke over Miami, or at Miami. Duke is getting 20.5 points at Miami of Florida. I think they're good enough to cover 20.5 points. I'll take Duke with the points on Saturday. We'll take Texas Tech getting 14.5, two touchdowns, at Iowa State at the Cyclones. Iowa State's undefeated. Matt Campbell's a great coach. They play a lot of close, tight-knit games, and I think this might be one of them as well. Texas Tech will throw caution to the wind. They got nothing to lose going up there, and I think they'll keep it closer than the experts think. So we'll take the Red Raiders in that one. Finally, the toughest game to pick, I think, of the week. Ohio State's a 4-point favorite at Penn State. Those games are usually incredibly close. Somehow the Buckeyes have won like 9 out of the last 10. I'm going to take the Buckeyes, giving Penn State the 4 points. I think they'll win by a touchdown somehow. Get the running game going again, get a couple of turnovers, have the defense play a great game, and come out of there with another win. So to recap, we'll take Jacksonville State plus one at Liberty. We'll take Duke plus 20 and a half at Miami. We'll take Texas Tech plus 14 and a half at Iowa State. And we will take the Buckeyes minus four at Happy Valley at Penn State. Taking four road teams this week. That's pretty bold, I suppose. Okay, anyway, we'll live with that, and we'll see how they come out next weekend. So that'll do it for this week's fifth quarter, episode number 11. We always appreciate you choosing us out there. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good week, everybody.